Well, we've gone through seeing the fact that God had made a covenant, an agreement with Abraham in Genesis chapter 3, telling Abraham that he'd make him a great nation and bless him, make his seed a blessing for the world. And he said that those that bless your seed, I'll bless, and those that curse your seed, I'll curse. We ran through a number of situations where we saw that there were Gentiles that blessed the seed of Abraham. We saw that in Luke chapter 7, where there was this soldier who had a servant there. He was sick and nigh unto death, and called for the Lord and said, look, go get the Lord. Let him know my servant is sick, about to die. Send him here, and you can heal him. And so consequently, the Jews went up to the Lord and told him, he is worthy of this because he loves our nation and buildeth us a synagogue. And so consequently, God fulfilled the promise he made to Abraham by blessing the servant of that man, because that servant, the man there, blessed the seed of Abraham. So God consequently blessed that man. We also see in Matthew 15, Syrophoenician woman, a Gentile woman. The daughter is grievously vexed with the devil, wanted her healed, and consequently, in wanting her healed, asked the Lord, Lord, come heal my daughter. And he said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he also referred to her as being a dog. And her response was, yea, Lord, but the dogs get the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Meaning, I think, personally, me, I think she understood this covenant back here. Somewhere along the line, the woman went to Sunday school, and someone told her about the blessedness that comes from blessing the seed of Abraham. And so consequently, because of her faith, her daughter was healed at that moment in time. However, there are other Gentiles. It's not to just assume that all nations bless the seed of Abraham, because that isn't true. Many of them cursed the seed of Abraham, and God upheld the promise in that he would curse those that cursed the seed of Abraham. And he put plagues on them, he brought destruction upon them, and he will do so once again in the tribulation when he returns. Those that rise up against his saints, he's going to come back and he's going to destroy them. So this thing runs through the Bible. It's not a misnomer, it's not a mistake. God knew exactly what he was doing. If you bless the seed of Abraham, consequently, he would bless you. That's the promise that he made. Now, with that said, turn to Romans chapter 1. Another good example, and I didn't want to reread all of this, but another good example is Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius, the centurion, the Roman there, that prayed to God always. He gave alms to the people. He gave offerings to the seed of Abraham. And consequently, at the end of it all, God blessed Cornelius and his household that was with him because he blessed the seed of Abraham. Now, with that said, we go into the time frame, and we'll go ahead and do the board, the typical drawing of the board here. Start with the dispensation of the grace of God, and it goes in there, starting with Paul. In Romans chapter 1, look with me in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, I've read reports of individuals that make comments about this and say, well, I know it says to the Jew first and also to the Greek, but there's no special significance to it. Well, there is. If you are a Gentile, you see that God sent forth a man, an apostle, who went to the Jew first. And you can't miss it when you go into Acts. Paul gets saved on the road to Damascus there. And from that point on, his beginning of his ministry, every stop in every city was at a synagogue. That's not irony. That is fulfilling what God commanded him to do, and that is go to the Jew first. So when we read Romans, think about this, that when he writes to these Romans, the Romans are reading this epistle. So they know, Romans 1:16, that Paul's ministry was to go to the Jew first and also the Greek. They know that. It's written there. They experienced it. So we know that as we go through the scripture. So with that said, turn over to Romans and go to chapter 11. Now, we spoke of this a few weeks back, and I really didn't get into any detail of it. I kind of just went over it real quick, knowing that we would come back and revisit it. Now, Romans chapter 11 has stumped a lot of people because they don't want to believe it says it the way it says it and how it's to be applied. We're going to try and straighten some of that out for us, those that aren't here or those that are out there that corrupt this truth here. Let them be wrong. That's all I can say. Romans 11, look in verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Now hold the phone. Romans 1:16. Who's Paul sent to? Jew first, also to the Greek. But when he writes that in Romans chapter 11, verse 13, who's he speaking to? Gentiles. Romans 11:13, he's speaking to Gentiles. He's writing to these Gentiles. So keep that in mind. Now watch verse 14. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. The question is, who is the them?
Jews.
Now, just with those two verses, we see he's dealing with two different groups of people. But I'm speaking to you Gentiles. And by the way, as he speaks to these Gentiles, he's talking about the Jews. So it's these two bunch of people. All right. Verse 15. For if the casting away of them, now we know who that is, be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Sounds like he's describing a tree to me. Root, branches. Verse 17. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, who would the thou be?
The group of Gentiles he's speaking to.
Exactly. You've got to keep in mind when he talks of them, us, I, thou, who is he talking to? It's very important to keep that thought in line as we read. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, then who are the Gentiles?
Wow.
Wild olive tree. We're grafting in among them. Now who's the them? You see, it's not difficult. Just follow along. And with them, the Jews, partaketh of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Now, a minute ago, he was talking about Gentiles, and he referred to them at the upper part of the verse as a wild olive tree. If thou, being a wild olive tree, Gentiles, then come down to the end of the verse, partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, not wild, then who's the olive tree?
Israel, or at least the Jews, the remnant.
The Jews. We don't need to change anything. Those that are of my flesh, that's the Jews. It doesn't change. He says, boast not against the branches. Well, then that tells me. That tells me this wild olive tree has branches. And I would suspect and suggest that the branches are the individual Jews in this olive tree. Individuals. Boast not against the branches, verse 18. But if thou boast, you Gentiles, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou will say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, that's the olive tree, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Now here's the problem that you face here in the teaching. There are those that take this thing and say the olive tree there is the body of Christ. The wild olive trees are Gentiles, they say, but they're being put into the olive tree, which is the body of Christ. Well, let's continue on that thought just a minute. Let's read verse 21 and see if this works. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. You know what that sounds like to me? You could lose your salvation. In other words, but if the olive tree is the body of Christ and the Gentiles are grafted in, he says, be careful. If God didn't spare the natural branches, watch that he don't spare you. Sounds like you could lose your salvation to me. If the olive tree is the body of Christ, the problem with it is, it's not the body of Christ. It's not the body of Christ. To fortify who this is, hold Romans 11 and turn back to Jeremiah. Turn back to Jeremiah chapter 11. Hold Romans 11. We're coming back there. Romans 11. Context is very, very important. Romans 11, 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, hear ye the words of this covenant, and speak unto the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. All right, we have a situation here. God's words go to who? Jeremiah. Who is Jeremiah to take those words, the words of the Lord, to? Men of Judah and what? Inhabitants of Jerusalem. That's unmistakable. Not to the world. It's no great commission here. We know who these words are to go to. So let's go down to verse 12. Then shall the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem go. Isn't that ironic? Verse 2, men of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Verse 12, then shall the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry unto the gods unto whom they offer incense, but they shall not save them at all in the time of their trouble. What is the problem that exists at this time there in Jerusalem and Judea and Judah? Idolatry. They're offering sacrifices to other gods, Baal in particular. That's the problem that exists there. So he says, when they get in trouble, let them call on those gods they've been worshiping. They can't help them. But he says more than that. Verse 13, for according to the number of thy cities were thy gods, O Judah, and according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem have you set up altars to that shameful thing, even altars to burn incense unto Baal. You know what he's saying in verse 13? Look at the beginning of that. For according to the number of thy cities were thy gods. So he's saying they had a lot of gods there. But not only that. Watch this. And according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, you have set up altars to that shameful thing. We're going to reread that portion of the verse. And watch how it just comes alive for today. And according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, have you set up churches to that shameful thing? You know what the Lord's telling Jeremiah there? There's a church on every corner, every block, there's a church. What did I preach on several weeks back? Why this church? Everybody that comes to this church passes multiple churches to get here. So why come to this church? Why this church? Why pass the altar to go worship that God when the altar's right there for convenience? You can't imagine what kind of food they serve at that altar. You can't imagine the choir they have at that altar. You can't imagine all the programs they have at that altar. Our kids love playing around the altar. They got a great children's program. Sound familiar? On every street, you had an altar. For as many streets that were in Jerusalem, there was altars. Then he says in verse 14, now we haven't in all this talk here lost to who Jeremiah's talking to, have we? Okay. Verse 14, therefore pray not thou for this people. That's a strong statement. You don't find it very often where the Lord encourages someone not to pray for his people. But you do here. Neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, For I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. What hath my beloved to do in my house? Seeing she, and that's who we're reading about, Jerusalem, Judea, that bunch there, seeing she hath wrought lewdness with many, and the holy flesh is passed from thee, when thou doest evil, then thou rejoicest. Now watch verse 16. The Lord call thy name, a green olive tree, fair and of goodly fruit. With the noise of great tumult, he hath kindled fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken. Well, that tells me who the olive tree is in Romans chapter 11. It's Israel, it's those Jews. And what did he do? The branches are broken off. That's what Paul says in Romans 11. Now, let's go back to Romans 11, verse 19. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, just like back there in the days of Jeremiah. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. He'll cut you off too. The question is, how did the wild olive tree get grafted into the good olive tree? Yep, right there. That's what Paul's talking about. This is not the body of Christ, per se. In other words, I'm sent to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, but I'm talking to you Gentiles. Do you know how you got in this thing? You got in there by being grafted in because you blessed this bunch. But be not high-minded. Because of unbelief, God will cut them off. He'll cut you off too. Cut you off too. However, Paul went and preached the gospel to the Jew first. And because these Gentiles had blessed these Jews, they had the privilege of hearing the gospel and believing and being a part of the body of Christ. The body of Christ. So he's addressing them about a situation that dates back to Jeremiah. However, those that believe are in the body of Christ here. And you know, it goes with what we teach or what I teach, whether you believe it or not, it's up to you. But it goes with the fact that Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and 1st and 2nd Thessalonians are all books that were written when Paul was going to the Jew first and also to the Greeks. All of those epistles I just named have Jewish writings, Jewish things about them. Whether it's a Passover, whether it's a Lord's Supper, whether it's baptism, whether it's keeping of holy days. All of those things are Jewish in nature. And so you come into Romans, well, you're going to find the same thing. They're Jewish in nature. It's addressing the history of the Jews. Going back there and showing how the Gentiles have been put into that olive tree. And so we're going to continue reading here. Verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity. But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. Now he's talking about being cut off out of that connection with the Jews, because at that time it was important, if he was going to the Jew first and also the Greek, for Gentiles to be saved, they would have to be blessing these Jews. They would have to be in the synagogue. Why? Because Paul was going to the synagogue when he got into a city to go to the Jew first. And so consequently, they would have to remain blessing the seed of Abraham so that they could have the blessing of hearing the gospel. They had to remain in that state. Verse 23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. And that didn't happen, by the way. As we see, and we've studied this, we saw that gradually through that process, the Jews were in a diminishing role. They were falling down. And so the beauty of what is taught here is the fact that Paul got a revelation to go to Gentiles, and that revelation was a revelation because the Gentiles he was told to go to was this bunch here that cursed the seed of Abraham. Because God never promised in all the Old Testament writings to ever bless them. He would never have favor towards them. He promised to curse these Gentiles. So then, when God revealed to Paul that salvation through the gospel was going to these Gentiles, then it had to be a mystery. In other words, the ones that were cursing the seed of Abraham now can hear the gospel and be saved apart from the Jews. And that's the beauty of it today. God reached out to the Gentile nations that had nothing to do with the Jews. You could go to war with the Jews. And God's not going to show that Jewish nation favor. I mean, for crying out, I was watching the news the other night, and it was an article where it was one of the Holocaust survivors that was on it was Skype. And I don't know what country she was in, but she was addressing some of the students here on television through Skype and talking about all the horrors. Like, she had 60-something family members that was in the Holocaust, in the concentration camps, that were all killed. She got out of it. She was one of the survivors in her whole family. And I thought, it's all because you didn't receive your Savior. Had you not crucified him, you'd be in a kingdom right now. Wouldn't that be nicer? I mean, I'm not belittling what happened to him. But look, God didn't come in and stop that. Now, you listen to old Hagee over there. He said, well, the United States stopped World War II. Well, we came in a little late for several million Jews, don't you think? When God is covering for this seed here, the seed of Abraham, there ain't a military power in the world that can harm them. The problem is, like Jeremiah, they constantly went after other gods, so God just let the Gentiles have their way with them. And once they rejected his son, once they rejected him, hung him on the cross, then rejected the apostles, and Paul was raised up, God knew he was taking this out to the Gentiles, and I must let my people get scattered, and they just gonna have to deal with the God of this world and the Gentile powers that be. And they've been under Gentile rule ever since. Ever since. It has nothing to do with the United States supporting Israel so we can be blessed today. Of course, that's blasphemous to Hagee. He thinks that we are only blessed by God because we support that nation over there. The fact of the matter is, I don't know what a blessed nation is. I mean, are we really blessed? What makes us blessed? The murder rate? I mean, tune in to 6 o'clock news, local news. They're going to open up with at least 3 murders that took place in the city every night. I mean, where's the blessing? Our prison systems are overcrowded. They got to turn prisoners loose into our society because there's no place for them. We got drug addiction that's through the roof. We got suicide. Where's the blessing? That's a blessing?
The only blessing is people can still witness to somebody without getting shot or hauled to jail.
Well, then Rome and the power of Rome was a blessing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because Paul did it. It doesn't matter what the national situation is. If God has a message, and he does, he will find faithful men that will take that message out. I don't care if it's Hitler. I don't care if it's Mussolini. I don't care if it's Obama. He's going to have men go out there and in a perverse and crooked nation preach the gospel. I don't see where there's a blessing here. The people that left the hand that was over them in England when they got here, that's where all the songs came from, God Bless America. Because they were over that suppressive hand and they found their liberty here. But this thing's turned full circle, man. This is a rat hole now. I mean, I like the country. I love my country. I'm going to stay here. Not moving. But it isn't what Duma Flitchy over there says it is. Because we're providing Israel with fighter jets. Paul was given this mystery of the gospel to go out to Gentiles. And from that point on, the nation Israel has been scattered and the Jews are just like the Gentiles today. They're going to have to trust in the Lord to get saved and they're under all the powers that be. God, I mean, that little country there was established totally against what God had done originally. Because if he was going to care for them, he wouldn't have let Titus go in there and destroy it and scatter them and take them captive and lead them out to every country in the world. What, he was sleeping on that end? Then all of a sudden he woke up in 1940, whatever it was, when they became a nation. 49 or 48. All of a sudden God goes, wait a minute, where'd my nation go? Been 2000, I got to have a nation. No, not at all. The UN did that. God of this world did that. Don't get me started. I'm already started. Don't inflame me. Well, the fact of the matter is, the UN did it. Well, who's running that show? The God of this world. Not the God of heaven and earth. So who established that place over there? The God of this world. And it's been a nightmare ever since. A nightmare. I know why the Palestinians are mad. You ought to see documentaries on those people and what the Jews did to them when they started settling in there. If somebody came into this state, into your town, and did to you what those Jews did to them, you'd have a war here. You'd have a war. Because you'd go off to work, and later that day you'd come in, and they would have got bulldozers and leveled your house and said, you don't stay here anymore. This isn't yours. What would you want them to do? What'd you want? They've been there for thousands of years. Thousands. No wonder it's chaos over there. They had, I saw a family there. For generations, they had olive groves. And I mean, the area kind of reminds me of California or vice versa, in that there's beautiful rolling hills and it's perfect, perfect for crops. I mean, just the whole thing. And they had all those rolling hills, and they had acres and acres of olive trees out there. Jews come in there with tanks, bulldozers, plowed up the entire olive thing and said, we're putting settlements here. See ya. And that's supposed to just go away? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But that's what happened when the UN did that. So that's the God of this world. And it'll come to a head some kind of way, somehow. It'll come to a head. But this thing here in verse 24. For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted in their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And notice, blindness in part. Well, I want you to understand something. Yeah, that's written in Romans chapter 11, that blindness in part, and that in part they're going down. But when you get to Paul's writing in Acts 28, when he is in prison prior to his death, he told them, eyes have ye, but you see not. Well, that's not blindness in part. That's blindness. They fell in total darkness to the gospel message because they didn't receive it. And the Lord said, okay, Paul, tell them we're going out to the Gentiles and they're going to hear it. And so for about 1900 years, it's been going out to Gentiles that just soon, this bunch here, just soon kill this seed as look at them. I mean, enemies. That's why folks look. That's why you can go to Christians, you know, Christians, and tell them if Hitler were to trust in Jesus Christ, he could be saved. Oh, how can you say that? Oh, how can you say that? He killed all those Jews. Because Christ died for his sins also. God will not damn anybody that believes the gospel, I don't care who it is, even if they curse the seed of Abraham, because that's his specialty today. That's how he's working today. He is blessing those that he once cursed. You Gentiles who were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. Those had no hope. Till God revealed it to Paul that he would save them. And that's the process there. That olive tree there in Romans 11 is not the body of Christ. Anybody that teaches that shows an absolute elementary error in their teaching. And they need to either grow up or shut up because they don't know what they're talking about. It's not the body of Christ. You're never told by Paul's writings that when you believe the gospel, you're grafted into the body. You're never told that. When you believe the gospel, you trust in Christ, you are by the Spirit what? Baptized into the body. And the body isn't a tree, and a tree isn't a body. Common sense. I mean, you don't have to shoot for the moon on this. You just stay basic and humble to elementary stuff, and you can see it. You can see it. So, anyhow, well, that's what I have.